From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In 1973, President Richard Nixon's government ordered the U.S. Attorney General to fire the special prosecutor investigating him. When that didn't work and the Attorney General resigned, his deputy also resigned, and finally, the third in command at the DOJ conducted the firing that Nixon wanted. That series of events playing out on a single Saturday came to be known as the Saturday Night Massacre. Just days ago, the Trump administration attempted to carry out what many are now calling a Friday Night Massacre. On Friday, Attorney General William Barr announced that U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman was stepping down. Berman said he was doing no such thing. So Barr told him the president fired him, but Trump said he was not involved. Berman had investigated many of Trump's associates and was in the middle of investigating Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, when he was fired. My guest is Beth Rotman. She is the Money in Politics and Ethics Program Director for Common Cause. Welcome to the program, Beth.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It seems as though what then happened a day later at the Tulsa, Oklahoma rally sort of eclipsed this news story a little bit. But the significance of what played out on Friday into Saturday, is the comparison with Nixon's Saturday Night Massacre apt?
I think it's absolutely on point. I think Attorney General Barr has turned the AG's office, the Justice Department's office, into a political tool that is being misused by a corrupt presidency, and it is a tragic situation for Americans.
In fact, when Nixon asked his attorney general to fire the special prosecutor, that attorney general, whose name now escapes me, refused, actually had more integrity than Barr, and stepped down. Barr, in this case, seems, and since the time that he has been in place as Attorney General, since he replaced Jeff Sessions, has been more than willing to do Trump's bidding. What do you think actually happened? First, he announced that Berman was being replaced after, you know, just showering him with praise about what great job he was doing. When Berman said he wouldn't go till the Senate confirmed a replacement, Barr said that Trump ordered the firing. Trump said he was not involved. So what do you think happened?
Well, I think that, first of all, Barr has lied to all of us. He lied to the American people in an official statement from the Department of Justice, who is meant to be independent. And you're absolutely right that he should refuse to do this corrupt bidding. And in fact, Common Cause has been calling for Barr's impeachment for some time. And after this, we have re-upped our call for his impeachment. I think what happened is that he has unfortunately become co-opted into a corrupt presidency that does not believe in oversight. So instead of doing his job in pushing back and becoming and being an impartial judicial part of the executive branch, who is supposed to go after and protect all of us from abuses of power, unfortunately, he has become part of the abuse of power, which is why ultimately we believe Congress should move on his impeachment. But I believe that when he announced that Berman was resigning, of course, no one was more shocked to hear that than Berman. He was not resigning. And for many of us in the watchdog government space, good government space, we have long seen the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York as one of the rays of light, because as you very correctly pointed out, they have gone after some very bad actors, and some of them are in jail.
So Berman was also investigating Jeffrey Epstein. What exactly was he involved with when it came to Rudy Giuliani, Trump's personal attorney? I mean, since the administration won't tell us why they fired Jeffrey Berman, a man whose work they continue to praise, what can we conclude? We can only conclude that something Berman was doing was not liked by Trump and Barr.
Well, absolutely. I think that Berman, first off, successfully prosecuted Trump's first lawyer, Michael Cohen, who's in jail and who, in a really stunning 7 hours of testimony before Congress, gave us our first really long, troubling, on-the-record look at how far this president is willing to go to subvert the institutions of democracy. And then after that, we saw the U.S. attorney also take a hard look and arrest several of the co-conspirators in Ukrainegate, some of the people who gave some of the information that went on to be part of the president's impeachment. So just as unfortunately, we've seen Trump go after a number of inspector generals and other independent people who did their jobs for America. And a president was impeached in part because of that. Unfortunately, the president is still in office and is going after people really relentlessly that had anything to do with his impeachment.
Now we are seeing media reports suggesting that Berman would have been fired a year ago, except that months ago, except that the investigation into Giuliani came to light, and so it would have looked bad. We're also hearing that right before he was fired, Barr sent over a letter for Berman to sign on to criticizing New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio's coronavirus-related quarantine measures, that because apparently de Blasio didn't ban protesters, but did crack down on quarantine violators. So he wanted him to sign on to this letter. Berman apparently refused. Again, not clear if this is what precipitated his firing, but apparently there have been tensions between Barr and Berman. Does William Barr by himself have the authority to fire Jeffrey Berman?
Well, really, he has to be able to give reasons to Congress by law, and that wasn't done. I mean, the reasons provided were really a thinly veiled sort of nothing. So by statute, no. When he's removed, there has to be some sort of cause that's reviewable, and it can't just be, you know, willy-nilly like it was. But again, unless Congress moves forward with impeaching Barr for abusing his power, which we hope we will do, then we may not have any protection. I think the other thing that happens is, like in many other employment situations, unfortunately, we've seen something like that here. I think out of incredible integrity, Berman was fighting for there to be not to have a crony replace him. Not to have somebody who would be sort of a Trump loyalist. So Berman had a good deputy and hung on long enough to say, you know, I'll go if I have a guarantee that at least my deputy will be in to replace me. So that was undoubtedly part of the negotiation. And it seems like maybe Berman agreed to sort of take a hit, so to speak, for the American people, so that at least there would be somebody in there that believed in the integrity of the office.
That's Audrey Strauss, who is his second in command. Apparently, there is no legal consensus about whether an attorney general can fire a U.S. attorney. This is a position, of course, that the Senate generally confirms that the president, nominates and has to go through a Senate confirmation process. And there is no precedent, even Supreme Court precedent, that exists to look for guidance, and that Barr would have, it's not clear if Barr did have the authority or not to fire Berman. But of course, Trump technically has the authority. When asked about it, Trump said, "I'm not involved," which is just incredible. So Mr. Berman stepped down after Audrey Strauss was, we were told, put into place. But isn't the original replacement still in the running? Jay Clayton, the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is a bizarre person to put into this position, he apparently has no federal prosecutorial experience. This is one of the top prosecutorial jobs at the federal government agency. What sort of qualifications does Jay Clayton have?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Sonali, that unfortunately we see an administration that time and time again is more comfortable putting loyalists in roles than people who may actually have demonstrated incredible apt and experience in doing the job, but would want to do the job impartially. I mean, we've seen really an attack by the president on institution of government after institution of government, taking executive agency after executive agency and saying, fine, let me put somebody in there who in fact lobbied against everything that agency ever stood for. So, I mean, unfortunately, this is part of a trend and it shouldn't be possible, but and it's sort of an amazing thing that we're now seeing that's happening time and time again. And yes, he's trying to do it here as well.
And he does it with the Department of Justice. He does it with the cooperation and the enabling of, I mean, I don't know what else to call them, but his henchmen, William Barr at the DOJ, Mike Pompeo at the State Department, and others. Now, interestingly enough, Jeffrey Berman was actually appointed by Trump, wasn't he, when Preet Bharara, the previous person to hold that position, was also fired?
You're absolutely right. And I think that part of what we've seen is that even in instances where people may have ultimately, you know, thought they were going to take roles and be able to be impartial, and where even the Trump administration has appointed people with strong backgrounds, then when something changes, the different fact pattern takes place. Here, certainly, the investigations that didn't shine well in the Trump administration, we see that no one is safe from being on the chopping block. That if the Trump administration changes its views about whether or not you are against them, you know, watch out, because unfortunately no one is safe, however well you're doing your job.
Right.
And if you're really doing your job well and including investigating and favorable things that reflect on the administration, you know, the Trump may come after you.
Mr. Berman is a registered Republican. He donated to the Trump campaign. He was personally interviewed by the president when he was initially appointed. And I suppose maybe Trump didn't expect him to actually do his job, setting aside whatever his partisan beliefs might be. Preet Bharara, the predecessor to Berman, in an op-ed in the New York Times, said Bill Barr should have been the one to lose his job. And he basically speculated what we've been discussing, which is the only reason that we can imagine that Berman was fired was because he violated the commandment to protect the president's friends and pursue his rivals. This, you know, could easily be an impeachable offense, but we've just been through this lengthy and highly politicized and polarizing impeachment process that was very narrowly focused. And there just doesn't seem to be an appetite for impeachment of either Trump or William Barr, who Democrats have said impeaching Barr would be a waste of time. So what is the recourse there? What can Democrats do? Don't Democrats also have some say in who gets to replace Berman, at least in the Senate?
Well, I'll say that one thing that Congress can do and that Common Cause has been pushing for and that should happen soon is that I think the public has to have a clearer understanding of what is going on, and that Barr has to actually be called to testify before the House of Representatives as immediately as possible about all of these actions. I think that while impeachment is also important, that we start with Congress calling him to task on these things and demanding that he defend these things on the record. You're not allowed to lie to Congress. You have to talk honestly about and under oath about what you are doing and whether you are doing your job. And he should be called upon immediately to do that in front of the American people.
Right. I mean, so if he hasn't given a clear enough reason for why Jeffrey Berman was fired, Congress could simply put him on the stand and ask him to explain himself, ask him details. I mean, I don't know whether it would make sense for an attorney general to say that he couldn't answer questions because it was confidential, because these things aren't supposed to be confidential, right? This is part of the public interest, unless, of course, we're talking about the details of a particular case that Jeffrey Berman was working on. But even that, I can't imagine, would be any real justification for the Attorney General and President to fire him.
I think that you're right. And I think that ultimately, there's nothing confidential about somebody in a powerful role that's in charge of making sure that others in government don't abuse their power And now when we believe that there have been all of these abuses of power by the Department of Justice, I believe that we have a right to have those questions asked in a way that it's one thing to read somebody's statement, as we all know. It's another thing to see their face and listen to them and watch them answer these questions about whether they are able to do their job or whether they are blinded by some sort of loyalty.
I imagine,
and those are the kinds of questions.
Right. I imagine in the end, it's going to come down to Trump. Trump saying that he fired Berman because he had the right to do so, which is the sort of thing that he has said before. You were referring to the attacks on inspectors general. Every federal agency has basically a watchdog role or a position of a watchdog, generally called an inspector general. And we've seen numerous firings just in the last few months, the latest of which, the most high profile of which, was State Department Inspector General Steve Linnick, who Trump has fired. And this too seems to be a very obvious way to undermine oversight of the president and his administration. And I want to ask you, you know, how is it that Republicans are tolerating these things? Senator Chuck Grassley, a top Republican who made it his and who, you know, who's claimed that it's one of his life's calling to ensure that there's government oversight through inspectors general, you know, has said that he wants to protect inspectors general. He's equated Trump's firing of inspectors general with Obama's firings as well. Is it something that all presidents tend to do, or has Trump pushed the limit on firing inspectors general a lot more?
I think there's no question that Trump has pushed the limit. I think that with oversight, the problems may go, certainly in any number of areas, go back. And these are common causes. A nonpartisan organization, and we don't claim that every problem started with any particular party or only one candidate. That said, even though there's been need for some stronger protections for a long time, Trump has absolutely abused his power and pushed back on oversight in a way that goes as far as to say, and I don't say this lightly, it almost makes a mockery of the idea that anybody should dare to claim they have oversight over him. And we cannot have that. He's fired numerous inspector generals. He does it almost as a, it's starting to look like a blood sport. And I don't say these words lightly. So we've never seen anything like this. And there are a lot of things that Common Cause is fighting to do and that we need to do to better protect everyday Americans from this behavior.
And add to that the revelations in former National Security Advisor John Bolton's book where he showed that or claimed that in the same way that Trump solicited political favors from Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky, he did so from China's President Xi Jinping as well, you know, basically offering political favors in exchange for help getting him reelected. I mean, there is just so much impropriety, so much unethical behavior by a president who claims he's all about law and order, whose base claims that that's what they're for as well.
You're right. And in fact, we didn't mention this specifically, but just now in our conversation, but you know, we have the Ukraine gate pieces that also support the reasons that Barr should be impeached. And even if that isn't going to happen, I think it's important that Americans understand why it should happen. And the fact that we had a congressional hearing that showed that our president encouraged foreign interference in our elections. And then we had the Department of Justice try to cover that up. And the handling of those matters and those reports is yet another reason why it's quite clear that Barr's office has just become a tool of a corrupt presidency.
Going back to how the Jeffrey Berman situation will play out now, eventually that position does have to be confirmed by the Senate, right? And if so, what do you think will play out? Will Audrey Strauss be named? Will Jay Clayton remain in the running? Will Democrats and Republicans, question what was done to Berman by refusing to confirm his replacement?
Well, see, this is where it's really important that we all keep our voices loud on what's happened, because this is a moment where whether, you know, somebody's impeached or not, this is a moment where we have an opportunity to impact that. So I can't tell you what is going to happen, but I do think that outrage here by everyday Americans around what went down with Berman and what could happen next could support having somebody, having either the deputy or someone else come in and hold that job in a meaningful way and not be another tool of a corrupt presidency.
Beth, give out a website for Common Cause.
Yes, we are www.commoncause.org.
And we'll link to that from our website. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
My guest has been Beth Rotman. She's the Money and Politics and Ethics Program Director for Common Cause. We've been discussing Trump and Barr's firing of U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.